Efficient Methods. Part 1. Introduction. I truly believe that we must not attempt to do, have, and use more stuff, take up more space, and squander our time for the sake of lavish comfort, impressing our peers, and the so-called economic growth. Yet, in many of our societies, these are often encouraged behaviors. We routinely engage in these wasteful and abhorrent practices, partly because those that do, have, and use more are often praised for it. Instead, I believe it necessary and highly beneficial to do the precise opposite, attempt to do, have, and use increasingly less while living our lives productively. Of course, this is a balancing act, sometimes difficult to recognize and more difficult to achieve. I believe we must attempt to affect our environment in a positive way, as much as reasonably, while attempting to use ever less resources in the process. This collection of efficient choices and actions, doing more while using less, is what I call efficient methods. I believe that living with efficiency can bring much more accomplishment, satisfaction, pride, happiness, and many other benefits to ourselves and society. The benefits are too many to exhaust here, but I believe some are chief among them. Benefits to our environment, personal health and happiness, and societal welfare. In this article, I'd like to discuss efficient methods and its benefits in a three-part approach. Discussing the what, how, and why about efficient methods. In the what section, I plan to give you a good idea of what efficient methods are, how I define efficient methods. The how section discusses how we may achieve the efficiency underpinning, the efficient mentality and culture, what I believe to be the key for all efficient methods. Also there, I will detail many methods, steps, ways, and behaviors that help us be efficient. These include efficient choices, techniques, and technologies. Finally, in the why section, I'll dive into the fallout of an efficient lifestyle, its likely benefits to you and others. These should provide the reasoning for re-engaging in this quite natural lifestyle. Throughout this article, I will take the opportunity and share many of my recent experiences visiting one of the most efficient societies I have witnessed, Japan. I believe many of my experiences there were relevant to the thesis of this article and provided many examples of efficiency and the efficient culture. During my travels of several Japanese cities, I encountered a variety of rich and unique customs, lifestyles, infrastructure, techniques, and technologies, many of which, I believe, center around efficiency. Furthermore, I noticed that much of that nation has produced intelligent engineering and a culture of conservation, protection, quality, organization, respect, safety, and discipline, all factors that aid efficiency. I recognize that not all Japanese persons or groups behave in a uniform fashion, but I believe there is a discernible underlying culture there, one that allows these positively important traits to flourish. So, I believe many of my experiences in Japan may bring to your attention the possible ways in which an efficient culture may help us contribute to produce beneficial advancement wherever we may live, such as the advancement I witnessed there in public life, safe and organized environments, social happiness, useful and high reliability technology, a thriving economy and tourism, and much more.
What are efficient methods exactly? There is a broad variety of possible definitions for the term efficient methods. One definition may be, it is the use of energy by a method or mechanism that is closer to the optimal performance. And optimal performance allows the most work to be done for the least amount of resources spent. Work is the product of labor. A birthday cake is the work or product of the labor of the baker. And resources are limited goods and commodities used to produce work. Resources can be many, but here we'll focus on three main categories: energy, material, and time. Some resources needed by a cake baker, for example, may be heat energy, flour, milk, eggs, sugar, and time. In a broad sense, efficient methods include making choices to be efficient, employing techniques to be efficient, and using technologies to be efficient. Each of these choices, techniques, and technologies may be used to be efficient using resources, energy, materials, and time. Efficient choices include those to use less energy, materials, and time, like opting to use less food, water, land, supplies, etc. Or opting to clothes dry with efficient sources of heat, like ambient heat to air dry your clothes, or cooking using already available combustible waste, such as scrap wood or paper. Other efficient choice may be buying less commodities. Efficient methods may also include using efficient techniques for an endless variety of tasks like work tasks, home chores, building and making, moving stuff, dismantling, etc. Efficient techniques may include methods, planned steps, approaches, or ways to perform labor. They may include clever and efficient techniques to build things, for example. It may be less wasteful ways of achieving everyday tasks like shopping, traveling, transporting, cooking, working, making things, etc. By thinking about how to best and more effortlessly perform work, we strive to find and use methods to be efficient, use less resources. Efficient techniques are simply better, less wasteful ways to perform tasks, with or without using technology. Lastly, the term efficient methods may also encompass using efficient technologies and opting to abandon less efficient ones. Even if it is less convenient to do so, for example, an electric vehicle, EV, is more efficient, mechanically speaking, than a combustion vehicle. So, opting to use EVs if possible is an efficient technology choice. However, using a bicycle when safe and possible is a more efficient technology choice. And I should remind you that efficient technology choices may bring certain inconveniences to the user, like longer charging periods for EV users and shorter travel range for bicycle users. However, the user may accept these inconveniences for the sake of other benefits, like lower operating costs, less environmental pollution, no detours to gas stations, etc. In this article, when I say better, I mean more efficient. And to determine that more efficient is better, I think it helps to further define the term efficient. As mentioned, resources are used to perform any task. Tasks take at least some energy, materials, and time. The reasons why it is beneficial to use less resources are clear and many. So, being efficient is using less resources while performing work for the sake of those benefits. The benefits generally far outnumber the inconveniences or disadvantages of efficiency. Those benefits will be mentioned throughout and developed in the later why section of this article. Here I should remind you that many cultures around the world encourage high consumption or wasteful use of resources, often just for the sake of what they believe to be advancement and economic growth. But this high consumption necessarily goes counter to the basis of efficient methods, and this conflict, where it exists, is something to keep in mind as you go forward with an efficient lifestyle. Many in those cultures reject efficient lifestyles as entrenched and anti-progress, since they believe that high consumption largely creates modern society. I believe the opposite. Efficiency, not waste, creates modern society, advancement, and true economic growth. That takes me to the efficient mentality. Efficient methods require an efficient mentality, which is an efficient culture and a commitment to do more, only while attempting to use less. This may seem counterintuitive to those not entirely familiar with the concepts and benefits of efficiency, but I believe for this efficient mentality to settle, one must have an appreciation and value for efficiency. For those, you must be convinced of its benefits. As a preview, some important benefits are better environmental outlook, greater personal and community happiness and health, and more positive advances in most areas of society. All of these, I believe, are critically important, now more than ever. Especially important are efficiency's contributions to our natural and artificial environments. These, I truly believe, impact our quality of life and that of future generations.
To be or not to be efficient. More important than the seemingly endless ways of how to be efficient are fully grasping the concept of efficiency, learning to value it, then deciding to live efficiently. Once those are achieved, an efficient lifestyle should follow almost naturally. Of course, as all else, being informed and consciously attempting efficient actions will help develop your efficiency. And, like many other good things, it may take time. I believe it takes time and effort for many to become convinced and engage in this lifestyle. And, it will take time and effort to increase your efficiency. Of course, not allowing oneself to become obsessed with efficiency to the point of becoming wasteful in other areas of your life. This would take away some important benefits of efficiency. To become convinced that efficiency is the way to go, it may take education, research, and perhaps a few life experiences that nudge you in that direction. A few questions must be answered prior to knowing how much work this convincing will take. Do you value truth over common beliefs? And do you accept and value evidence-based truth? If these are affirmative, then you are likely on your way to being solidly convinced on the benefits of efficiency. If not, you need further reflection and study. I believe the environmental, personal, and societal facts around efficiency are so clear that not considering and acting on those is ignoring the facts or simply not knowing them. Again, direct reasoning for being efficient can be found in the last section of this article. It may be advantageous for you to start there if efficiency does not seem a worthwhile thing to pursue. But just to remind you how natural it is to want to be efficient, for example, most businesses, athletes, machines, and in fact just about every organism in nature, strives to be efficient in many of their functions and actions. Once convinced that a consciously efficient lifestyle is desired and necessary, then study, work, and patience must all be employed to succeed in higher levels of efficiency. By consciously efficient, I mean to strive to be efficient above the average level, and to try to improve even when above average. So, I believe a high level of efficiency takes constant effort to achieve and maintain, and it should be advantageous enough for this extra effort to be worth it.
How to be efficient? Accepting that efficiency is a highly beneficial way to live, there are various broad ways on how to be efficient, worth listing and explaining. Recognizing that there are countless ways to be efficient. Here, I'll organize them into these efficient choices categories, using less resources, using efficient techniques, and using efficient technologies. All of these choices, actions, and methods, I must say, can be common knowledge rediscovered or newly developed, and should be openly shared by participants to promote the efficient culture. This, in my view, make the efficient lifestyle very interesting, challenging, and exciting. Resources. Resources may be energy, materials, and time. There may be others, but I believe this to be the most important to discuss here. Energy is hugely important and is very popular in our time. In the light of the occurring effects of climate change, the high cost of some forms of energy, and the controversy and conflicts that other sources of energy bring, all factors that place energy as top priority to conserve and use wisely. Here, the term includes the sources of energy, oil and gas deposits, solar light, etc., and the other resources needed for producing energy, labor, fuel, light, heat, etc. Human labor, which produces all types of work, uses energy. So do all machines. Work can be defined as the product of labor, whether is directly performed by people or indirectly through machines. Energy can include a myriad of other more exotic things like radiation, gravity, magnetism, etc. But we leave those to more advanced discussions. Material resources may include space, land, expendable supplies, rubber, wood, coal, etc., then many finished products, computers, vehicles, buildings, etc. There are many things that can be categorized as material resources, a list too long to exhaust here. Time is a resource that needs little definition. It stands alone as a reminder of its vast importance. It is a resource used in conjunction with every other resource when both work and waste are performed. Time is a valuable resource that is used up, well, all the time. And we place value on it interchangeably depending on a variety of factors and circumstances. For example, the time slot spent performing critical work, like heart surgery, is more valuable than time spent watching a TV show. Time may be the most valuable resource that we have. Without it, no other resource may be used.
Using less resources. Having cleared away some important resource-related definitions, we can discuss how we may be efficient. Again, I will discuss why it is important, even critical, to use less resources in the next section. I will focus on ways to use less resources and how to be just as or more productive than before while engaging in efficiency. Being productive, I can say, is performing beneficial work in your environment and wisely using available resources. It is quite natural, again, to attempt to use less energy while living your life. You can find this phenomenon just about everywhere in nature. For example, our ability to walk upright on only two legs may likely be an adaptation in a natural effort to conserve energy while moving about. Conserving energy strategically enhances survivability for all organisms. I say strategically because obviously you cannot do this all the time. For example, if a lion has spotted a monkey, saving energy to get up a tree is not wise for the monkey at that moment. Survival comes first, of course. At times, other priorities may trump efficiency. However, in most instances, it's clearly beneficial to save resources like effort, money, time, etc. Attempting to save energy by employing more effective methods to achieve tasks is a top way to save energy. Methodical and proven effective body movements, for example, may save time, effort, and energy at work. Taking shortcuts, more direct routes, when transporting from one location to another is a method of using less energy. Simply put, smarter ways to do tasks like building, cleaning, gathering, etc. Taking shortcuts clearly can save energy. However, taking shortcuts in performing tasks may or may not be smart. It may allow a more direct path to achieving the same or better goal, or it may invite skipping important steps to achieve similar but less quality results. We must know the difference and decide accordingly when and if it is wise to take shortcuts. As I refer to it here, shortcuts are the formulation of more efficient methods to perform a task that produces the same or better result. By thinking about a given task and attempting to perform it in a logical and efficient way, you may be able to save energy and perhaps come up with clever and original methods. You likely will not discover a new or best way of doing things most times, but you are sure to perform tasks more efficiently, much more so than thoughtlessly diving into them. You may be able, for example, to find more efficient ways to perform academic work, hobbies, workouts, exercises, personal projects, or work duties. Also, you may be able to save energy by making smart choices about the types and sources of energy you use for each task. Energy as a resource. One type of energy may be too costly for a task, but ideal for another. Some energy sources are more available, cheaper, safer, more efficient, thus used more frequently. For example, to generate heat, costly electric energy is spared by using other fuels that are more efficient. The use of gas heaters is known to be cheaper and more efficient than electrical energy. Apparently, gas heating may be a preferred choice in many areas of Japan. I was relieved to see the use of a kerosene convection type heater in a mountaintop train station waiting room. Those heaters are known to be over 99% efficient. And this reminded me of some of my earliest efforts to save heating costs, in which I installed a similar type of heater in my home. Furthermore, I saw that most installed water heaters were gas-fueled tankless water heaters, many of which were installed outdoors, and most are of brands manufactured by Japanese companies like Takagi, Rinnai, and Noritz tankless water heaters. Tankless water heaters are much more efficient than their tanked counterparts, mostly because they heat the water only when it is being used, and they normally have a much higher uniform energy factor, UEF. Electrical energy is costly to produce and expensive to purchase, especially in North America, where it is mostly based on fossil fuels, coal, and natural gas. So, attempting not to use much electricity from the conventional North American grid is critical for most. For example, each kilowatt hour in the U.S. state of Georgia currently ranges from 8 to 14 cents per kilowatt hour, summer of 2024. It is known that an average U.S. household uses about 900 kilowatt hours per month. And there are several fees and taxes tacked to a monthly electric energy bill in the U.S. For example, on my current bill, I'm being charged 46 cents daily, extremely high, suppose, power usage, a hefty fuel recoup charge, municipal franchise fee, nuclear construction recoup fee, environmental compliance fee, and state and federal sales taxes. Electric bills can add to hundreds of dollars per month for the average person in the U.S. Additionally, you may be paying a much higher rate for each kilowatt hour, starting around 600 kilowatt hours during peak hours and during summer months in many states. The changing factors can be many. These, I believe, are tactics used by electric utility companies to maximize their revenues. Even with its high cost, electric energy may be a more efficient source of energy for many uses, such as lighting, air cooling, refrigeration, clothes washing, home electronics, and many commercial and industrial applications. For example, here in Japan, the transportation rail system uses electricity for most trains and to maintain stations working, air-conditioned, and lighted. Electric motors on trains are highly efficient and quiet. I witnessed firsthand how the Japanese have embraced and advanced train technology, making an efficient use of electricity for most of their public transportation. Japan has also embraced renewable sources of electric energy, making electricity use even more efficient, clean, and affordable. So, while using electricity, it is smart to wisely establish a renewable source for it. Increasingly accessible renewable sources, like solar and wind, may allow you to partially or completely replace your current and expensive electrical source. Of course, only after an initial upfront investment in these technologies. But the investment required to install these technologies may quickly begin to return with smart use.
Using less energy. You may use less energy in at least two ways: minimizing energy-using tasks and using efficient technologies. First, you may minimize energy-using tasks by consistently making smart energy-saving choices. I must say here, don't be in despair if you feel alone in your energy-saving quest. However small your personal contributions, it is still a significant impact when these are sustained for long periods. So, I believe our efforts are all well worth it. Energy-saving choices may be the most accessible, quickest, and most impactful ways to save energy. These choices often don't require money, equipment, or much time. For example, you may choose to consume less food. Doing so may allow you to spare an array of associated energy-intensive processes. The energy savings may extend far beyond your personal benefits. Personally, you may spend less energy getting, storing, and using food, and there may be a domino effect on the downchain for food production, putting less demand on transportation, farmland, supermarkets, etc. This may also allow you to find that you really don't need to eat so much to stay healthy. If done properly, your health may improve. Other energy-saving choices may include opting to walk, bike, use public transportation, or carpool. If driving, choose smaller, more efficient vehicles, drive slower, more carefully, and obey speed limits, shop less, and buy environmentally friendly products when available, and don't eat out much. Purchase used products or attempt to repair existing products. Choose to live in a smaller home, apartment, or room when available. Use air conditioning only sparingly and when needed. These and countless other choices can make various sizes of impacts on energy savings. If you must engage in energy spending, then try to minimize the time and frequency in which you engage in those. For example, if you have an inefficient mode of transportation and can't replace it, then the best thing is to try to minimize its use. Find a job close to home, don't go on long trips much, and drive slower. If you must use your current home, which may be large and inefficient, then try to occupy only a portion of it, or rent out or donate an area of it to others. If an area of your home must remain unoccupied, then don't use any energy in those areas. Really, it is up to you to find every opportunity to save energy and share your findings, methods, and ideas with others. Energy-saving technologies. Again, the choices we make about efficiency make all the difference in our level of efficiency. This includes the technology we choose to use. And these choices include what technologies we freely use, rent, and buy. Of course, Some technology choices may make a large impact on our efficiency, say a transportation vehicle choice. Others, not so much, like choosing paper or plastic bags at the grocery store. Technologies can be very simple or stupendously complex. We may choose to ride the train and be efficient using state-of-the-art technology. Or we may choose to ride a bicycle and be efficient using a much simpler technology. Common technology choices that make large efficiency impacts may include air heater and air cooling, air conditioners, water heaters, cooking ranges, stoves, ovens, and other kitchen appliances, clothes dryers and washers, lighting fixtures, lamps, televisions and computers, and many others. And remember that more efficient technology may not be the most advanced, newest, or expensive ones. Many of them are old technology, some of which you may already own. So, look for each technology's performance details on its manufacturer's specifications or product details, whether new or old, and make the right choice to save energy.
Renewable energy technologies. Apart from protecting the environment, the prime drivers behind renewable energy should be their higher efficiency, lower cost, and environmental friendliness. And although some renewable technologies may be costlier, this higher cost may be due to an attempt to continue a wasteful lifestyle using renewables. For example, if we live a lavish and overly comfortable lifestyle at home, consuming a large amount of utility energy, it would be unnecessarily expensive to cover that same lifestyle with solar energy. Since solar energy works on lower voltages and currents than the utility grid, it takes longer times and more equipment to generate equivalent energy levels. This fact can add to unjustifiable investments if a one-for-one replacement is attempted, even for wealthy folks. This problem is managed by drastically increasing a home's energy efficiency, only then replacing the energy source to renewables. It is true that some renewable technologies are relatively more costly to attain than their non-renewable equivalent due to many economic and market factors. But this higher cost is often offset considering the operation life of the renewable technology and the benefits it brings during that time. More and longer use of efficient technologies bring more benefits if used with long-term efficiency in mind. And these allow for a faster return on investment, ROI. For example, a home's photovoltaic, PV, system may produce low energy and be more expensive than when compared with just keeping an existing utility electric grid connection. But if you drastically reduce your home's electric energy needs, a small PV system may be more than enough. And it may not be so expensive to own and operate, fast-tracking your ROI. In Japan, I studied the use of solar energy closely in my travels there. Each of the two largest metropolitan areas appear to make ample use of solar PV technology. I observed many residential buildings and some commercial and industrial buildings make use of PV. In Kyoto, I saw firsthand the use of a large solar field near the city's water treatment plant in Yabase-Kiha Island Park. I observed a large percentage of Kyoto's and Osaka's residential roofs having solar panels. And in Tokyo, I observed a good amount of solar panels on many multi-level buildings. The Tokyo area buildings have a reported over 4% solar roof systems installed. The rest of the nation may have varying similar rooftop PV installations. In fact, Japan currently has the world's third largest deployed PV capacity, only behind China and the US, with over 69 million PV kilowatts installed. Japan generates a whopping 25% of its overall energy from renewables. So, obviously, The nation takes efficient energy sources seriously, further proof of the importance of efficiency. When you adopt the discipline of lower requirements by being efficient, you may experience many added benefits. Some may be unexpected. For example, if you consume less food, your body should adjust to the lower level of calories and strive to perform at similar levels as before. And there are many other benefits when less energy is used. Less need for equipment, space, land, maintenance, insurance, time, etc. Again, daily choices, as well as seldom made, big decisions, can impact your overall efficiency. These choices and decisions may be cumulative and may directly affect your efficiency level. Some can save or waste various amounts of energy, while others maintain your current level of efficiency unchanged. I believe keeping the impact of choices on efficiency in your mind will help make most of those choices add to your overall efficiency. For example, you may not be able to afford an electric vehicle to save energy on transportation, but I believe you may achieve similar results by doing what I call the next best thing. In that case, it may be to rely more on walking, cycling, public transportation, carpooling, or even using an older efficient combustion vehicle. The next best thing is not a fixed list. It will vary from person to person, circumstance to circumstance. Again, keeping an efficiency-driven mentality will help you make a good or next best choice for each of your personal situations.
Materials as a resource. Many of us are born and raised and remain part of societies that encourage continuous consumption and gathering of stuff. These societies value high consumption of food, space, limited materials, and much else. There, it is praised when people consume overly expensive food and services, acquire unnecessarily large and luxurious homes and vehicles, own immense plots of land, hoard rare fabrics and metals, and so on. Many amass credits in the form of money in bank accounts, often merely for the sake of having the potential to get more stuff and to impress their peers. Popular media, in these societies, constantly barrage their desirability of having ever more and ever newer stuff. Even the entire economies of many parts of the world seem to rely on this high and continuous consumption. And this high consumption lifestyle reaches obsessive proportions in many so-called wealthy areas of the world. There, stuff is concentrated and hoarded to an extreme, and resources are wasted rapidly and on a large scale. Our drive to amass often reaches sickening levels and surely drive many of the problems we see in our so-called advanced societies. Rampant poverty, disturbingly unequal access to jobs, goods and services, and never-ending economic cycles of growth and collapse. Overconsumption surely leads to many other societal ills. High levels of disease, debt, scarcity, stress, crime, etc. And leads to massive environmental problems like waste, pollution, and natural habitat destruction. I believe that, when resources are transferred upward unnecessarily due to greed, corruption, and waste, these very resources are robbed from individuals or areas that sorely need it. For example, many people in some areas of the world suffer or die because they cannot afford the necessary and available medical treatment, medicine, or surgery. While at the same time, many in other areas of the world gamble away eye-watering amounts of money, collect vehicles and homes, and hoard massive amounts of food sources and land. With these facts in mind about the world in which we live, many of us may resist our society's pressures and begin our efficiency with material resources. Using less materials. Material resources include supplies, paper, wood, milk, oil, etc., or finished products, cars, shoes, homes, computers, etc. Material resources may be abundantly conserved by employing efficient methods. Using material resources most always create waste and often incur an array of costs in storage, maintenance, use, stress, management, inconvenience, etc. I believe each material resource acquired needs to be thoroughly justified, and as least of them as possible must be used for maximum efficiency. Acquiring and using less, whether we buy it or get it free, is crucial for efficiency. This practice may spare us from many of the costs that materials introduce to us and our environment. Materials take up other resources like energy, space, other materials, and time. For example, having many pairs of shoes, taking up storage space in shelves or racks, and taking time to purchase them, keep them organized and maintained in usable condition. You may not think of this as much of an expense, but many unimportant items, like shoes, are often kept under a roofed, air-conditioned environment that incur a large cost. Think of the expense of housing, and think of the housing made available if many shoe closets were combined into a living space. All things, used or not, need to be maintained. Again, shoes in a rack, under the sun and unused, will soon be destroyed. Likewise, large homes, multiple homes, large plots of land, several vehicles, collection of items, etc., need lots of other resources to upkeep. We often don't soberly justify our acquisition of materials. And we often don't think about whether we really need to get those extra items, that second vehicle, or that tenth pair of jeans. Again, we often let peer or societal pressures be the reason for getting unjustifiable materials, large and expensive homes, luxury cars, gold watches, etc. We often just want to be praised and admired by others and strive to telegraph an image of affluence. In the process, we stupidly squander massive amounts of resources, like money and time, and needlessly get ever more stuff. In my experience here in Japan, overconsumption is highly discouraged. Vehicles are mostly small, and a large percentage of the population rely on public transportation. A whopping 25% of the Japanese public opt not to have a vehicle. This choice alone discourages the type of consumption that large pickup or SUV owners commonly engage in the US. There, getting large screen TVs, buying and keeping an overabundance of items and food, and gift shopping are often praised actions. In Japan, I noticed a widespread use of cycling in the city and suburbs, further disincentivizing overconsumption. Hell, even shopping bags are charged for in many stores and shops. And, per my experience, hardly anyone was carrying large shopping loads. Also, I really noticed the meal portions, as well as parking spaces, were mostly small. There, space is obviously a very guarded resource. Due to these and other factors, the overall Japanese culture follows what I call conservative consumption. Ditching the owning and driving a vehicle allows significant savings of material resources. It may potentially save thousands of US dollars on a yearly basis. For example, you may save on the high costs of acquiring, insuring, registering, and maintaining a vehicle. And you will surely be spared from the liabilities of driving, the potential for accidents and injury, traffic and parking violations and fines, death at the hands of other drivers or even police. I recently was exploring the northeast of the US in an attempt to escape the agonies of the American South and in a search for places that would allow me to save money on registering my electric vehicle. But not only did I realize that the cost of living alone would null my savings, but I was issued a hefty $300 parking violation ticket for clumsily parking on a handicapped spot.
Space as a resource. Although space is generally not thought of as a material or energy, it may include materials like land, air, and area. Space is a very important resource, and we need it to exist and live in peace with others. And we need it to move about and place all the stuff we use, homes, roads, beds, hospitals, etc. And with a growing world's population and limited land areas of nations, space is important to wisely manage. We must manage space to prevent conflict, grow food, and provide adequate and affordable housing. Many other factors tell us we must use space wisely. especially the needs to protect biodiversity and to mitigate climate change. Many animals need vast areas of natural environment, unbroken by fences, roads, and farmlands. Finally, a healthy climate needs vast untouched forests and low pollution. Managing space wisely absolutely helps in these important areas. For more details, ensure to read the Why section of this article. Using less space. Saving space means minimizing the use of space and encouraging a culture of space efficiency. Embracing a culture of efficiency and owning less allows us to save space. Attempting to claim ever more property, land, and larger homes and vehicles gobble up space. Renouncing abhorrent personalities like greed, selfishness, avarice, disrespect, and gluttony affirmatively help in saving space. Also, avoiding abhorrent behaviors like hoarding, amassing, collecting, and indulging surely helps save space as well. In many societies, like in the U.S., these personalities and behaviors may be difficult to recognize, and they may be even harder to get rid of. Again, many societies see it as normal, even desired, to engage in abhorrent behaviors. For example, phrases such as these may be common within many communities. Chimba just bought a beautiful big new house, and Kulu owns a nice large plot of land. Or, Aziz has three nice newer cars, while I only have one older car.
Bah.
Japan is large, about as large as the eastern U.S., but it has a relatively limited living land area due to its many mountainous areas. Also, I believe, historical large population growths and other factors have contributed to the current Japanese culture of conserving space. Seemingly, Japan has built a society with space efficiency in mind. I believe the results of this culture of space efficiency are the vast areas of very organized, safe, and relatively affordable cities, very efficient public infrastructure, and the smart use of most spaces. For example, most Japanese homes have a small footprint with a high capacity for housing people. I saw most homes to be multifamily of at least two levels, in and around the two major population areas of Tokyo and Osaka. Single-level large homes for these areas were a rare sight, while multi-level apartment buildings were abundant. I was surprised and pleased to see how the cities were designed, with plenty of space for people to walk and with accessible parks and green areas. Seemingly, no road was built without walking space included, and walkable and accessible green spaces, parks, riversides, and large trees were not at all scarce. These and many other efficiency-related choices solidified my belief that Japanese society has well-placed priorities for space and other resources. This culture of space efficiency can carry us to be efficient in many other ways. It allows us to have less and spend less energy and wealth. Less space requirements means less cost for living, less insurance, taxes, rent, mortgage, and maintenance cost for the user. Space efficiency allows us to save time as well, since the need to keep up with more space takes time. Some may believe that not using space is a waste, as that space can be employed for something. But natural space is always serving a purpose, not necessarily for humans, but mostly beneficial for us as well. Other animals and a healthy environment need large natural habitats, untouched by humans, a topic that needs much development elsewhere. In Japan, as anywhere else, large natural spaces translate to less pollution, more biodiversity, less waste, more areas to tour, among a variety of other benefits. These and more reasons are why, I believe, the efficient culture has been encouraged in every corner of Japan. The benefits are obvious, and the evidence is clear. Better environment, better quality of life for all, and a better outlook for the future. Ultimately, I believe efficiency has allowed Japanese society to surge ahead of the rest of the world in many aspects. And I believe we, everywhere, can likewise benefit from efficiency. However, it begins with seeing the benefits, learning what brings them about, and if needed, recognize our current wasteful culture. This article will continue in Efficient Methods, Part 2. Written by Hector Vladimir, Tokyo, Japan, June 3, 2024. Edited June 5 to June 26, 2024.
ヘクター・ウラジミール著、東京、日本、2024年6月3日、2024年6月5日から26日まで編集。
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please look for the next episode soon and please ensure to share this with your friends and family. And please like this content and subscribe as a sign of support and for me to continue to provide this type of content to more people like you. Lastly, if you wish to support this content further, please visit the links provided in this publication. Thank you.